Now, morning of today's daf in Sanhedrin is Nun Aleph. We are Nun. We just turned to the top of the Amud Nun Amud Beis. We're going to continue from where we started, from where we were yesterday. Just as a quick recap of yesterday. Yesterday we started the seventh parak of Sanhedrin. We're discussing the Arba Misas Beis Din. The Mishnah's heading was Arba Misas Nimsu LeBeis Din. There were four Misas that are handed over to Beis Din. Beis Din obviously going to be the one deciding whether or not someone is going to be subject to the capital punishment based on due process that we've already gone through extensively in the beginning of the Masechta, towards the beginning of the Masechta. And this is a mitzvah given to Beis Din. With that stated, the Mishnah now takes us through the listing of the Dalmisos. The listing of the Mishnah of the Dalmisos is very specific, meaning that the Mishnah is presenting the list in a manner in which we are first going to be given the most chomer, the most strict, and then we go down from there. The listing of the Mishnah is Skila Sriya Faherik V'Cheneg. Skila is number one. It is the harshest of the penalties of the capital crimes. Skila, which we already discussed in detail back in the sixth parak, exactly how it's done. Sreifa, which we're going to be discussing later in our very own parak, in terms of how exactly that was done. And then Herik V'Cheneg, and then decapitation and strangulation. So these are the capital punishments. Again, as we go through this parak, we're going to learn which crimes are going to be subject to which penalties. But our Mishnah has it that these are the orders. Now, the Gemara, as of yet, has not discussed why it's important for us to know how to rank the Dalmisos. Meaning, the Gemara spent the entirety of yesterday going through the process of ranking the Dalmisos, describing which one is harsher than the other. As of yet, however, we don't quite know. We haven't seen in the Gemara yet why it's exactly important to know this information. What difference does it make? Meaning, the penalty is always going to be the same for every crime as the Torah outlines. So why is this important information for us to know? Stay tuned. Later on, we're going to be addressing that question in the Gemara inside. The Mishnah also brought in the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon also ranks the Dalmisos Beis Din, but he does so differently. He flips Sreifa, Skila and Sreifa to Sreifa and Skila, meaning according to Rabbi Shimon, Sreifa is number one, Skila is number two, and he flips Herig and Chenek. Whereas according to the Tanakhama, Herig is three and Chenek is four. According to Rabbi Shimon, Chenek is three and Herig is four. So this is the order that is presented by Rabbi Shimon, and where we are in the Gemara right now is basically getting us through the order of Rabbi Shimon. So I'm going to just take a quick step backwards. I'd like to begin from the beginning of Rabbi Shimon on Nun Amud Aleph. So I know we did this yesterday, but it's one long run-on sentence of the Gemara in terms of ranking the Dalmisos according to Rabbi Shimon. So I'd like to start again. So if I may, Nun Amud Aleph in the Gemara, Rabbi Shimon Amar v'chulei Sreifa Chamor Miskila. So like we did yesterday, but now this is for Rabbi Shimon, we have to take Sreifa and we have to put in the number one slot. In order to put in the number one slot, we're going to have to prove that Sreifa is bigger than Skila, Herig, and Chenek. So how do we know all that? So here we go. The Gemara starts off. Shekein nidna labas koin shenizinsa. My chomer shekein mechaleles es avia. So who's subject to Sreifa? So that's going to be the bas koin who commits adultery. She profanes her father, the Torah says. So that's a chomer. That's a stringency, meaning it's an aver that not only affects herself, but affects others as well, specifically her father. Gemara says, how could you compare that to Skila? And Skila is going to be given to the person who's Ovid Avodah Zarah and a Megadev. And Poshe Yado Be'ikar, directly attacking Kadosh Baruch Hu. Rabbi Shimon L'tamid Amar Achas Arus V'Achas Asua Yasel L'Sreifa. So the Gemara says, yeah, but this is Rabbi Shimon being consistent, as we're going to be seeing a couple times today. The Bas Kohen Shezinsa, and a Bas Kohen committing adultery is going to be subject to the Sreifa penalty, and it doesn't matter if she's an Arusa, and it does not matter if she's an Asua. Umidafke Rechmen al Arusa Bas Kohen Mechlal Arusa Bas Yisrael Miskila the Sreifa Shmaminas Sreifa Chamura. And so here now comes the argument. Follow the logic. A regular woman committing adultery as a Nara Hamurasa is going to be receiving Skila. On the other hand, a Bas Kohen, who clearly is more egregious, she has a Kedusha of Kahuna, she's a Bas Kohen, and she commits adultery while being a Nara Amarasa, so she's going to be receiving Sreifa. So if her capital crime is being bumped up from Skila to Sreifa, so clearly Sreifa is above Skila. So that is now how we've proven, according to Rabbi Shimon, that Sreifa goes above Skila. Next. Sreifa Chamor Mechenek, Sreifa is greater than Chenek. Shekein Nidna Labas Kohen Shezinsa. Omaychum Chamor Keda Amaran. So again, so we start with Sreifa, and again, the model case of Sreifa is going to continuously be the Bas Kohen, who is Mizane. Now, Adrabe Chenek Chamor Shekein Nidna Lamaka Aviviimo Omaychum Shekein Hulkash Kvodom Kvodam Makom. So the Gemara says, and again, what is the harshest punishment that we know of when it comes to chenek, and that is someone who hits his mother and father. Hitting your mother and father is kaviyachol ki'ilu, in a front, direct affront to Kadosh Baruch Hu, like we saw yesterday, the Gemara Kiddushin, three partners in making a person, etc., etc. So rachma, so midafke rachmanu nesua baskom mechlan nesua basisom mechenek l'sreifa shma minas sreifa chamura. And again, the Gemara uses a very similar argument that it used previously. Again, consider. If you have a regular woman committing adultery, she was fully married, and she committed adultery, what's her punishment? Chenek. What if you have a Bas Kohen doing the same thing? Meaning a fully married Bas Kohen committing adultery, according to Rabbi Shimon, what is she going to be receiving? Sreifa. So once again, now we have proven that Sreifa is greater than that of Chenek. And one more to go. Sreifa Chamor Misaf, she came in the Bas Kohen, she sent so my Chomer Kedam Maron. So the Gemara says, again, we start with the Bas Kohen being Mizana, she gets Sreifa. So the Gemara says, now what about the Irenidachas? Irenidachas where they are over to Avodah Zarah, and on top of that, they're also, their money's going to be destroyed. And the Gemara says, and they're all going to be subject to Sayef. The Gemara says again, let's do this again as a consideration. What is worse, the one who is a member of the city of the Yiridachas, who got enticed and seduced into being over to Avodah Zarah, or the Mediach, the one who came into town, right? The cult leader, right? I was thinking of the cult leader. So Havi Omer Kochamidiach. So the Gemara says, so you know the cult leader is worse, meaning he's the one who got everyone to be over to Avodah Zarah. And meanwhile, what's the punishment of the cult leader? The Kavachomer Ma Chenek Shechamer Misayif. Now we know Chenek is greater than Saif. We've already established that. And Sreifa Chamur Mimenu, and Sreifa is greater than that. So Saif Akal Lo Kol Shekain. So in other words, basically in this chain that we just created, so. By putting the Mediach above the Nidach, and the Mediach himself is going to be subject to Chenek, and we already put Sreifa above Chenek. So if Sreifa goes above Chenek, so Sreifa for sure should go above Herek. Okay, so above Saif. Okay, so where what did we just establish in the Gemara that according to Rabbi Shimon, Sreifa goes above. Above Skila, above Chenek, above Hereg. Next. Skila Chamur Mechenek. So now that Sreifa's in the number one slot, so now we have to fill in the number two slot. So we're going to do that. We're going to do that with Skila. Again, all this is according to Rabbi Shimon. We're going to do it now with Skila, and here all we need to do is just simply put it above two others. Meaning Hereg and Chenek, the Gemara will do that right now. Skila Chamur Mechenek Shekein Nitna Lamegad of Ovid Avodah Kochavim Hamay Chomer Kedam Maron. So the Gemara says Skila, the Ovid Avodah Zarah receives it. Adarabah Chenek Chamur Shekein Nitna Lamaka Avivivim Hamay Chomer Shekein Hukash Vechulei. The Gemara says Chenek, you're hitting your mother and your father, and you're subject to Chenek, and that's bad. So the Gemara says, "Medafke Rechman La Rusa Bas Yisrael Mechlan Nesua Bas Yisrael Mechenek Leskila Shma Mina Skila Chamura." So the Gemara says again, but a very compelling argument that look, if you are a regular adulterating woman, you are going to be receiving Chenek. Meanwhile, if you're a Nara Marusa, you're going to get upgraded to Skila. So focus on the word upgraded, meaning obviously Skila is a greater punishment. It's a harsher punishment. Skila Chamur Mi Sayef. Let's do this again now. Just we need to put Skila above Sayef. So how are we going to do that? Shekein nitna lemegad defad rabba saif chomer shekein nitna lanchei erenidach. So my chomer shekein mamon and avad amart v'chi eze koach meruba koach medirch koach anidach. Again, the Gemara, the arguments over here are obviously repetitive, but every stage is necessary as we're putting one mises basin over another. So the Gemara says again, in the world of Irmi Dachas, what's worse, the Mediach or the Nidach, obviously the Mediach, Aveyomer, Koach, Mediach, Vekavachomer. Oma Chenek, Shechomer, Misayef. Now we already, Chenek is greater than Sayef, because again, the Mediach is going to be receiving Chenek, the Nidach is going to be receiving Sayef, the Mediach is worse, and we already now, so Skila, Chomer, Mimena, Sayef, Akal, Kol Shekein, we already put Skila above Chenek. So if we're already putting Skila above Chenek, and we established that Hereg, that Saif is below it, so clearly Skila goes above Saif as well. Okay, Chenek Chamor Misayif. Now, according to Rabbi Shimon, there's only one more stop on the tour that we need to do, and that is we have to secure the 3 and 4 slot. Meaning, so we've secured Sreifa in the number one, Skila in the number two. According to Rabbi Shimon, which is going to be 3 and which is going to be 4? So Rabbi Shimon now has it flipped from the Tanakama. Tanakama had Hereg v'Chenek. Now Rabbi Shimon's going to go Chenek Hereg. Okay. By the way, I'm sorry for just interchanging the words. Hereg and Saif are synonymous terms. Okay, the Gemara sometimes uses Saif, sometimes uses Erek. Okay, that part is a little bit confusing, I'm sorry. Anyway, Chenek Chamar Misaif, so we're saying that Chenek is greater than Saif according to Rabbi Shimon. How do we arrive at that conclusion? Again, Chenek is given to the one who hits his mother and father, and that is an affront not only to your parents, but to Hashem. Yeah, but you know, Saif goes to the Erni Dachas. So Amar V'chiezekoch Merubakoch Midiachukoch Anidach. So the Gemara again goes back to this argument of what's worse, the people in the Erni Dachas or the people enticing the Erni Dachas. Havi Omer Koach Midiach. The Midiach is going to obviously be harsher, meaning that is more egregious. V'tanya Midiach Erni Dachas B'skil Rabbi Shimon Omer B'chenek. And according to Rabbi Shimon, the Midiach Erni Dachas receives Chenek. So that is why, according to Rabbi Shimon, Chenek goes above Saif. Okay, because the Medich gets Chenek, the Nidach gets Saif. Okay, what we have done now successfully in the Gemara, a degree of success, but successfully in the Gemara, is now we have ranked the Dalet Misos Beis Din, according to the Tanakhama, Skila, Sreifa, Herek, V'Chenek, according to Rabbi Shimon, Sreifa, Skila, Chenek, Herek. Just keep it repeating it again and again, and it'll eventually get into the brain. So, Margala Bepume de Rabbi Yochanan. With all that stated, that was all basically your ABC, so to say, of the Dal Mises based on. So now, with that in mind, Rabbi Yochanan had the following statement, and we're going to understand and appreciate the statement of Rabbi Yochanan in the context of what we just learned together. Nara Marasa Bas Konshas Insa Beskila. If I have a Nara Marasa, so again, let's review. Nara means that she's in the, she just became an adult, she's 12 years of age, and she will be in this like tweener stage, what we may call, you know, here adolescence, but, you know, here we use that term loosely. Back then, it was a halachic state of development, where from 12 to 12 and a half years of age, she's a Nara. She's in the stage of being an adult, but not a full adult, not a bogeris. The Mishnayos need to go through the exact parameters of when she becomes a bogeris. But anyway, Nara Marasa means that she underwent the first stage of marriage. So, Bas Kohen, she's into Beskila. So if she's a Bas Kohen and she's Mizana, she's subject to the Skila penalty. Rabbi Shimon Omer B'Sreifa. And Rabbi Shimon says that she's going to be receiving Sreifa. Okay, so in other words, again, the basic machlokas between the Tanakam and Rabbi Shimon in terms of what happens to a Bas Kohen when she's Mizana. So as being a Nara Marasa, according to the Tanakam, she gets Skila, because Skila is the harshest punishment, and she is subject to the harshest punishment, and Rabbi Shimon has her getting Sreifa, because that is the harshest punishment according to Rabbi Shimon, and therefore she's going to be subject to the harshest punishment. Zinsa me'avia, so b'skila Rabbi Shimon am Rabbi Sreifa. Now, it's definitely an unpleasant case to discuss, but what if now our Bas Kohen Nara Marasa were to have an adulterous affair with her father? So what would her punishment be? So this is a double capital crime. And to the question which I asked in the beginning of this year this morning, what difference does it make regarding the rankings? And this is now the answer. The answer is that once we have the Dal Misos based in ranked, and when a person violates a crime that has within it two capital punishments, they are going to receive the harsher of the two capital punishments. Now I know that sounds a little bit strange, because elsewhere we know, and we're going to be discussing it later in the Masechta, that it's not strange. I shouldn't introduce it that way. It's consistent. Sorry, it's consistent with what we're going to see later, which is the idea of kimle b'drabim minei, that when a person violates a crime that has two punishments with it, so the second punishment goes away. Although to be fair, kimle b'drabim minei is something like misa and mamon. This obviously is different. It's misa and misa. It's an act that has two capital crimes. Over here, she's a married woman who is having an adulterous affair with her father. So it's both adultery and it's incest. Now, for the act of adultery, what is she going to receive? So again, it depends what stage of life she is and what stage of marriage she's in. But in the event of a Nara Marasa, she's subject to the Skila punishment in general. But if she's a Bas Kohen, that gives her now possibly a punishment of Sreifa. Now, I say possibly because it depends who you hold like, as we're going to amplify in just a moment. On top of that, she's also having an ancestral affair with her father, which has with it, generally the principle is that a woman having an ancestral relation with her father is subject to Sreifa. So now, what's going to be her punishment under such a circumstance? So Rabbi Yochanan says, as a margla bapuma, meaning if you take all the information that we know and you process all the information, here's how it's all going to land. L'rabbanan skila. that if, according to your, if you hold like the Chachamim, she's subject to skila. Because again, according to the Chachamim, skila is the harshest punishment. So despite the fact that she had an incestual relationship with her father, and that usually comes with it, the punishment of sreifa, but on top of that, it's also nara marasa. And therefore, she's going to be receiving skila, the harsher of the punishment. And according to Rabbi Shimon, sreifa chamura. And according to Rabbi Shimon, she's going to be receiving sreifa. Why? Because sreifa, according to Rabbi Shimon, is the harshest of the punishment. And therefore, she's going to be receiving the harshest of the punishment. Now, nafka lamina. Just give me one second. Nafka mina lamishin is chayesh shemisos based in nidama chamura. So the Gemara now spells out what I said, but I said it only because I knew the Gemara. Meaning that when a person violates a crime that has within it multiple capital punishments, so you receive the harsher of the of those capital punishments, and that's why it's important, it's significant to know how to rank. Once you have skila above sreifa, and you commit an act that has skila and sreifa, you're going to receive skila. Once you put sreifa above skila, and you do an act that has sreifa and skila, so you're going to be receiving sreifa. Meaning, based on your ranking system, that's the capital punishment you're going to be receiving. Yeah, Alex.
What about the father?
The father also is going to be subject to a penalty, but yeah, no, not necessarily. Meaning in. Right, not necessarily, meaning that, as we're going to be discussing a little bit later on, a Bas Kohen receives a capital punishment, and it could be different than than the man she's committing adultery with. They're different than the paramour. We'll discuss that in just a moment. So, now, in other words, he'll receive a capital punishment. That's clear. What the capital punishment is going to be may be different than hers. Father having an incestuous relationship with his daughter is subject to sreifa. A man having an adulterous affair with a woman is, generally speaking, going to be receiving chenek. Okay, so he'll receive a capital punishment. It just may be different than hers. Okay, I say very casually. Okay, but again, when you're learning all this, you can talk casually. Obviously, this is, you know, we're talking life and death over here. My Rabbi Shimon D'Tanya, the Gemara here now, is going to speak out of Bryce. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Shnei Klalos Nemru B'Bas Kohen. There are two principles as it relates to a Bas Kohen. The Gemara just quickly interjects Bas Kohen, V'Labas Yisrael, Ema Af B'Bas Kohen. No, in other words, even a Bas Kohen, meaning, of course, adultery across the board is a capital crime. It just happens to be that a Bas Kohen is going to be different for her, both by Erison and by Nesuah, and the Gemara explains. V'otzi akasuv Nesuah mechlal Nesuah, v'rusa mechlal arusa. Ma kishotzi akasuv Nesuah mechlal Nesuah lahachmir, av kishotzi akasuv arusa mechlal arusa lahachmir. So basically, according to Rabbi Shimon, it goes like this. Okay? Let's go with the general, let's move it to a Bas Kohen, generally. A woman who is a Nara Hamurasa, so again, in her stage of life, she's an Ara. In her stage of marriage, she's an Arusa. First stage of marriage. So for her to commit adultery, as we said yesterday, is the most egregious. And yesterday, I struggled a little bit trying to explain to you why that is. I still struggle, right? In other words, if you want to pick a fight, if you want to make an argument, it does seem that you can argue that if she's in the second stage of marriage, being totally dedicated to her husband, meaning, and living with her husband and committing an act of adultery, that you could view that as being worse, but it's not. Meaning, as I mentioned yesterday, and I repeat again today, it's not. Arusa is worse in terms of the way the Torah views this act as being a more of an egregious than affront. So why is it more egregious? So again, I struggled yesterday, I struggled today, but I will note, however, yesterday, I omitted Rashi. Okay, I apologize for doing that, but I have a makeup day, in other words, today. So Rashi says yesterday, in yesterday's daf, that it is more egregious for an arusa to have an adulterous affair, because not only is it going to be spiting her husband, but it's also spiting her family. Because remember, as an arusa, she's still living with her parents. She's still living at home. So for her to commit adultery in such a state, it's really a double affront. It's an affront to her husband, and it's an affront to her family as well. That's why Rashi points it out. Again, whatever rationale, whatever explanation you want to give, it's the fact. I mean, the fact is that a Nara Marasa is more egregious. So generally speaking, when it comes to a Nara Marasa, what does she receive if she commits adultery? Skila. Torah says that. If, however, she's a Bas Kohen, now again, this is Rabbi Shimon. Remember, all this is Rabbi Shimon. If she's a Bas Kohen, so it's even more egregious, and therefore she gets bumped up. What does she get bumped up to? Sreifa, because according to Rabbi Shimon, Sreifa is above Skila. Rabbi Shimon says the same thing is going to be true even if she's in a Suwa, meaning a fully married woman. Generally speaking, what does she receive for committing adultery? Chenek. Now, according to Rabbi Shimon, if she's a bas kohen, she does it as a fully married woman. So once again, if she's going to receive a harsher capital punishment, then that's going to be sreifa. In other words, it's not going to be skila, because skila is only for the nara marasa. So it's going to be bumped up to sreifa. And basically what we now see, and just keep this in mind, meaning this is the information we need for today's daf. I mean, we need to know in just in general for Torah's sake, but for today's daf, according to Rabbi Shimon, the bas kohen committing adultery is going to be subject to sreifa, be it both for arusa, be it if she was a nesua as well. Okay. We don't go by Rabbi Shimon. We hold like the Chachamim. You're talking about Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. That was Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. This is just Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon by itself is generally Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai. Okay. Zomemei nesua bas kohen bechlal, zomemei nesua bas Yisrael, zomemei arusa bas kohen bechlal, zomemei arusa bas Yisrael. And in terms of the zomemim, the Adam zomemim, so they're going to be receiving the punishment. They're receiving the punishment of him and not her. Meaning that, and we'll talk more about this a little bit later as well today, Adim Zomimim, who Vasisim Lo Kasher Zomam Lasos Lachiv, they do to them what they conspired to do to him. In the case of a Bas Kohen committing adultery, her capital punishment and the paramour's capital punishment are not going to be the same. She'll be receiving Sreifa and he'll be receiving Chenek. So in terms of the Zomimim, so they're going to be receiving what he is going to be receiving, not her. Okay. Tanu Rabban. Okay, for the rest of today's daf, what we will be doing is we'll be first reading this braisa, trying to explain the braisa, although I'll be very brief, because I know that the rest of today's daf is going to be dedicated to unpacking the entire braisa. So, the braisa is going to be not clear, there's going to be a little bit of ambiguity in the braisa, some of the havamina of the braisa are going to sound strange, the end of the braisa is going to be just an absolute mystery. Okay, so all this I say by way of introduction. And then, after we finish the Braisa, the Gemara is going to unpack every line of the Braisa, as that, generally speaking, is how the Gemara generally works. So, we start off, Tanu Rabbanan, we are in the Gemara on Nun Amud Beis. We are about 7 lines from the bottom of the Amud. It's the 4th word in the line. The Gemara introduces us to the Braisa. Ubas Ish Kohen Kisechel. Now, the next word in the Pasuk is going to be Liznos. This is the pasuk in the Torah in Parshas Amor that tells us that a bas kohen who commits adultery is subject to sreifa. The interesting thing is that the Torah never actually says that she was married. All the Torah says is that she's a bas kohen and she's mizana. Now the word mizana generally means adultery, but not necessarily. As the Gemara itself is about to point out a little bit later on, it could just simply be that she's having an act of relations outside the context of marriage. That's what it could mean. Again, just to be clear, the Torah never actually said she's a married woman. But as the Gemara itself is going to explain, that the correct way to understand the Torah is that we're describing a woman who's married. Now, even if we just stopped before the words liznos and just said that she's mechalal, it could mean that she's subject to the death penalty of sreifa, even for violating Shabbos. Tamalamar liznos bichulun Shabbos nesakasa medaber. So that's a havamina, but the Torah says, but don't stop there in the pasuk. Read on. It says liznos, which means that she's only subject to the sreifa penalty, only in the context of znus, of illicit sexual behavior. Again, the Gemara is going to explain that havamina later on. It says the word avia. Elsewhere in the Torah, it says avia in the context of where she's married. Here it says avia, just like over there means that she's married. Over here also, we understand that she's married. Or maybe avia over here means that the sreifa penalty is only when she has an adulterous affair with her father. Again, a strange havamina, but that's the havamina. But it says he mechalalas, which means that she profaned herself. How did she profane herself? By having relations with stam, anybody, not just her father. So then what are we going to do with the word avia? Back to what we just said. It's coming to teach us that she was a married woman. When it said avia elsewhere, it was in reference to a nara. Oh, so over here, why don't we limit the application of the sreifa penalty to nara, or more specifically, nara marasa, nara vihinasua bagers viharusa bagers vihinasua vafilu hizkina minayin. How do I know that the sreifa penalty applies across the board to every bas kohen, regardless of stage of life, regardless of stage of marriage? So tamalamar ubas kohen mikomakom, the ubas kohen, the vav in the beginning, is an amplification. It means to tell me that she's going to be subject to sreifa under all circumstances. Bas kohen ein li ela shenisas, the kohen nisas levet levi, ulisrol ove kocham lechal lamamzil nasim minayin. I might have thought, again, another unusual havamina. I might have thought that she's only going to be subject to the sreifa penalty if she herself is married to a kohen. Now, quite frankly, it's a difficult havamina because there is no indication in the Torah that she's actually married to a kohen. It just simply says she's a bas kohen. But still, the Gemara right now entertains a Havamina. I might have thought that that's only if she was married to a Kohen. If she was married to a Levi or Yisrael or an Ovi Kochavim or a Chal or a Mamzer Nesin, how do I know that she's going to be subject to the Sreifa penalty? Minayin Tamalomar, Uvas Ish Kohen, Afa Pishe Eino Kohenes. So the Torah says Uvas Ish Kohen, meaning even if she herself is not married to a Kohen, even if she's married to somebody else. Now, included in this list of people that she's married to, I glossed over it very quickly. But if you notice, one of the people that she's married to and she's still going to be subject to the sreifa penalty is an Ovi Kochavim. That, right, I didn't explain Chalal, I didn't explain Mamzer, I didn't explain the sin. I apologize, I'm short on time right now. But in other words, suffice to say it's people she should not be married to. Okay, for now that's sufficient. In the list, however, also is an Ovi Kochavim. Ovi Kochavim is very unusual, it's very strange. In other words, there is no marriage. There is no institution of marriage. So how did Ovi Kochavim get into the list? What is it doing here in the list? That's difficult, admittedly. I don't have solutions right now readily available, but know right now that that's difficult that made it into the list. It seemingly shouldn't belong there. Okay. Right, correct. All right, so for our purposes right now, I kind of glossed over it, meaning I mentioned that it's a problem. Okay, so but I'm not giving any kind of solutions for now. Let's go on. He besreifa ve'ein bo ala besreifa. A point that we made previously, but now here the Brice is saying it clearly. When we say that the bas kohen committing adultery is going to receive the sreifa penalty, that's only she receiving the sreifa penalty, but the paramour, the man she's having an adulterous affair with, is not going to be getting sreifa. He besreifa ve'ein zomameh besreifa. And the same thing is true regarding the Edom zomameh. In the event that witnesses conspired against her and testified that she committed adultery with a man, obviously, that's who she's committing adultery with. So if they are discovered to be Edom Zomimim, they're also going to be receiving the death penalty. But whose death penalty? Meaning there's two to choose from. Either hers or his. So it's going to be his, not hers. And again, Rashi over here points out it's based on Psukim. Okay. And then we're almost done now with the Braisa. But the Braisa ends off with like a mystery line. Like this is like, of the difficulties within the Braisa, this by far and away is going to be the most difficult part of the Braisa. I'll just read it right now. Rabbi Eliezer Omer Esavia Besreifa Veschameh Beskila, with her father, Sreifa, with her father-in-law, Skila, period. Okay, that, if you don't fully understand why that's a mystery, stay tuned. Later on, that is just an absolute mystery in terms of what's being stated over there. Okay. I'm going to pause for just a moment, breathe, and then just go right back. Very good. Excellent question. Okay, the question was, who is the author of the Braisa? Is it Rabbi Shimon? Is it the Chachamim? So he's asking the right question. The Gemara is going to answer that. Okay, Amar Mar. Yachol afilu chilul Shabbos. So we are now unpacking the entire Braisa. We are going back to the first part of the Braisa. We had a Havamina, that a Bas Kohen violating Shabbos is subject to the Sreifa penalty. So chilul Shabbos baskila, to which the Gemara says, what kind of Havamina is that? We know that when a person is mechal Shabbos b'mezid, so he's subject to skila. Like, what are we doing even entertaining this idea that she's a bas kohen, therefore she's going to receive sreifa? Am Rav Amani Rabbi Shimon. Good. So the Gemara says the author of the Braisa is Rabbi Shimon. So in other words, we didn't know, well, we kind of knew this, but the Gemara spells it out now, that this Braisa is operating with the general assumption that sreifa is the number one death penalty. Number one capital punishment of Beis Din. So now, Damar Sefer Chamor, Sakadaf Chamina Hove Ichmer Berechman Bekahani Derabbe Behu Mitzvos Yiseros Tidon Besreifa Kamash Malan. Gemara says, here comes the Havamina. It's an unbelievable Havamina. She's a Bas Kohen. She has more Kedusha. Right? The bigger they are, the harder they fall. And I might have thought that, as a Bas Kohen now being Mechal Shabbos, again, it's a Havamina, but now it's magnificent. I say magnificent just in terms of conceptual. Right? We're talking about the death penalty. But as a Havamina, she is a Bas Kohen. She's violating Shabbos. It's not like you and me. I say you and me meaning non-Kohanim. It's not like you and me violating Shabbos. We're violating Shabbos as quote-unquote regular Jews. She's a super Jew. She's a Bas Kohen. And she's violating Shabbos. And the author of the Brisa is Rabbi Shimon. The Havamina would be she's subject to a harsher death penalty because she's a Bas Kohen violating Shabbos. So fine. That's the Havamina. The Gemara says, Minei di day. Explains Rashi. The Gemara's question over here goes like this. I'm paraphrasing Rashi. Well, why her, not him? Meaning, even within this Havamina, only if she violates Shabbos, she's going to get Sreifa. But if a Kohen violates Shabbos, he's going to get Skila. Why is the Havamina exclusive to her? Gemara explains. Sakadat Chemina Ihu, Dishtar Le Shabbos, Agabe Avoda. Because when it comes to a Kohen, so you know, at times he's allowed to violate Shabbos, specifically when he's doing the Avoda. So even within this Havamina, the Kohen himself, the male Kohanim, are excluded because they sometimes can violate Shabbos. Albeit legally, but they can. She, on the other hand, Kevin Dalo Yishtar Shabbos Lekaba, she never is given an allowance by Shabbos. There's no dispensation of Shabbos for her. Emati Dumbestrefa Kamash Malan. So the Havamina would be that if she violates Shabbos, as a, I know it's a funny term, but in the context of this Gemara, you understand, as a super Jew, if she violates Shabbos, so a Havamina would be that she should be subject to Sreifa again. The author of the Brisa being Rabbi Shimon, Sreifa is above Skila, so therefore I might have thought that she'd be subject to the harsher penalty of Sreifa. That's the Havamina, and that's what the Brisa is dispelling, that we reject the Havamina. Next, we're unpacking the next line of the Brisa. Yachol afila penuya he liznos ksiv, Yachol afila penuya ha liznos ksiv. Again, there was a Havamina that if it was not adultery, but she's just simply a Bas Kohen having relations with another man, she's going to get the Sreifa penalty. The Gemara says, even as a Havamina, how could we have entertained that? The Torah says Liznos. Znos means, presumably, adultery. So the Gemara says, Kedrabalaza Damar Panu Haba Panuya Shalolashem Isha Sazona. So the Gemara says, okay, I'll explain to you the Havamina. There is an opinion of Rabbi Elazar. We saw it in Yavamos multiple times. The opinion of Rabbi Elazar is that if a man and a woman have relations outside the context of marriage, so she becomes a zona. She is labeled a zona, which means, according to Rabbi Elazar, that she cannot marry a kohen. She can never marry a kohen from that point going forward. Okay. It's a position that is not accepted, but it is a position. If you are subscribing to that viewpoint, now one would have the Havamina that if a Bas Kohen were to have this kind of relationship or relations, so maybe she'd be chayv to Sreifa. That's the Havamina, and the Maskana is no. The Sreifa penalty for the Bas Kohen is only for adultery, meaning only if she's married. Just as another parenthetical note within the Gemara's point that I just made right now, let's consider Tamar. Meaning, now I know it's all before the Torah was given, so I don't know how, in other words, I don't know if this discussion is really an appropriate discussion, but Tamar was not married, meaning her first husband died, her second husband died, Aaron and Onan both died. She's not married. Granted, she was a Shomeres Yavam, if you will, but she's not married, and she had outside relations, meaning she was pregnant, and Yehuda did not know that he was the father. And so he said Sreifa. So I hope I'm clear about this. In other words, I'm just connecting that to what the Gemara's Havamina just was, which is relations outside of a marriage. So at least the Gemara entertained the idea that that is considered for the Bas Kohen's Nus. Now Tamar, who Rashi brings, Rashi brings down that she was the daughter of shame. So, and shame, and that time was, you know, Cohen-like. I'm just simply pointing out that Sreifa, meaning it's clear that, Yehuda was ready to give her Sreifa. That part's clear. In the context of our Gemara and our Havamina, it at least it's digestible. In other words, it doesn't conform with the halacha, but at least it's digestible. Rabbi Shimon, and here it's going like Rabbi Elazar. Okay, it could be. In other words, it could be that the Brisa subscribes to both viewpoints. They're not exclusive one another. That's a good question. I happen not to know the answer to that question, but at least it's within the realm of possibility that whoever the author of the Brisa is subscribes to Rabbi Shimon on this point, subscribes to Rabbi Elazar on that point. Okay, it could be. Your question is very good. So again, we're unpacking the next line of the Braisa. The Havamina would be that she only is going to get Sreifa if she has relations with her father. Now, gone through Yevamos, you'll know and we're going to say this a couple times in Sanhedrin as well. A man having relations with his daughter is subject to, it's a rayos, subject to sreifa penalty, and it's based on a double gzera shava. Again, for the sake of time right now, I'm not going to go through the double gzera shava. Just right now, know that this is based on a double gzera shava. The Torah never actually spells it out. That a girl having a incestuous relationship with her father is subject to the sreifa penalty based on this double gzera shava. So the Gemara is saying that if the Bas Kohen has relations with her father, she's going to get Sreifa. And what the Gemara now is asking is, what do you mean Bas Kohen? Any girl having relations with her father is subject to the Sreifa penalty. So even within the Havamina, what's unique about the Bas Kohen? So it's the Exakta Dachamina Krala Fuki Midrava Midigal Rechman Bebas Kohen Velo Bebas Yisrael Kamash Malan. So the Gemara says, in the Havamina, we would have thought that this idea of a woman having relations with her father and being subject to the Sreifa is actually only exclusive to the Bas Kohen with her father. And as far as the double Gzera Shava, maybe what the Torah is doing is rejecting the double Gzera Shava of Hema, Hema, Zima, Zima. So the Gemara says, Kamashman, that's the Chiddush. Chiddush is no, that it's that we're not rejecting the double Gzera Shava. Okay. I know I did that quickly, but okay, well, we're going on. Bas Kohen Ainli Elish Nisus the Kohen Nisus Levi Yisrael of Kochav Ulachal Nasin Ulamam Zemi Nine Tamalomer Bas Yish Kohen Afa Pisha Eino Kohenes. Okay. Another Havamin of the Brisa that we're trying to unpack right now is that I might have thought that the Bas Kohen is only going to be subject to the Sreifa penalty if she's married to a Kohen, but if she's married to anyone other than a Kohen, she's not going to get Sreifa. She'll get whatever. Again, it's just funny speaking so flippantly about the death penalty. But in other words, but she won't get sreifa. So mishum di intzav lahu lahani la bas koini. Gemara says even as a havamina doesn't make sense. Meaning the Torah says bas koin, she's married to a non koin, she's still a bas koin, and v'su midi koinus la koin ksiv. And also, again, where's that havamina coming from? It doesn't say in the Torah that she was married to a koin. So like, where's this havamina even coming from? So the Gemara says, the Havamina goes like this. When she says, he mechalalas, it means she's mechalo from what point? From right now. Meaning this is the first time in her life that she's become profaned. If, however, let's say she's already married to chalal, nesin, Mamzer, she already profaned herself, so now we understand the Havamina, she's pre-profaned, and therefore she's not subject to the Sreifa penalty. And the Gemara says, and even if it wasn't an illicit marriage, let's say Levi Yisrael Nami, Vishava Besavia Kinura, Mechladachi Isa Gabe Lo Achla. When a Bas Kohen is married to a Levi Yisrael, over the course of the marriage, she can't eat Truma. Not because she's profane, just simply because she's married to a Levi Yisrael. But the idea is that, again, just explaining the Havamina. The Havamina would have been that she's a Bas Kohen in her pristine state of being a Bas Kohen, meaning with the continuing ability to eat Truma. And so I might have thought that the Sreifa penalty is only for a Bas Kohen who still has full Bas Kohen status and full Bas Kohen rights. That's what I would have thought. So Emaloti Dom B'Sreifa, Kamash Malan. The Gemara says, and that explains the Havamina, that even though she's already pre-profane, even though she's no longer entitled to Truma, still her act of adultery is considered a Bas Kohen act of adultery subject to the Sreifa penalty. Udaloka Reb Meir. Now the Gemara points out that the author of the Brisa that we just learned together is not in agreement with Reb Meir. Detanya, the Gemara quotes the Brisa, Bas Kohen, Shanisis Yisrael, Va'achla Truma, Mishlemis, and Sekem, Vena, Mishlemis, and Sechamish. Bas Kohen married to Yisrael eating Truma. Because she's not allowed to eat Truma, so she has to reimburse that which she ate. We're talking about where she ate a Bishogig. So she pays principal value, but she doesn't pay chomesh. Umisa sub esreif, if she commits adultery, she's subject to the esreif penalty. Nisa is la'echa mina psulim. If, let's say, this Bas Kohen is married to someone she's not allowed to be married to, Mishalem is Karen v'chomesh, umisa sub echanetiv Reb Meir. So according to Reb Meir now, she has totally lost her Kohen status, so to say. If she eats truma, she has to pay both Karen and Chomish, the principal value, and the surcharge, or the 25% surcharge. On top of that, if she commits adultery, she's subject to Chenek, not Sreifa. Meaning, the Brisa we just got done reading, the Brisa of today, says that she's going to be subject to the Sreifa penalty. Reb Meir says, no, she's subject to the Chenek penalty. And the Gemara is just making a simple observation that the Brisa of today is not in agreement with Reb Meir. And the Chachamim are of the opinion that no, a Bas Kohen, regardless of who she's married to, if she's Truma, she only has to pay Karen, not Chomesh, and a Bas Kohen committing adultery, even if married to somebody who's Pasul, is going to be subject to the Sreifa penalty, meaning the Chachamim of this Brisa is in agreement with the big Brisa of today. Okay. And finally, one more thing to unpack in the Brisa. And as I mentioned, this is going to be the hardest part of the Brisa. It is going to be a mystery. So let's review. What was the last line of the Brisa? Rebbe Loza Omer, Esavia B'Sreifa V'Eschameh B'Skila. Her father, Sreifa, her father-in-law, Skila. Maya Esavia V'Eschameh. What does that mean? The Gemara says, let's try to wrap our head around the statement. Ilema Esavia Me'avia V'Eschameh Mechameh. If we're talking about who she's having an active relations with. So my Iria Baskorna Fila Basisol Nami. Bita Basrefa Vakalasa Baskila. So the Gemara says, well, if we're talking about having ancestral relations with either your father or your father-in-law, this is not an exclusive halacha to a Bas Kohen. Any woman having relations with her father subject to Srefa. Any woman having relations with her father-in-law subject to Skila. So the Gemara says, so it's If what the end of the Brisa is talking about is who she's having an incestuous relation with, it is not exclusive to a Bas Kohen. So Avi and Chameha, our father and father-in-law, could be talking about jurisdiction. Meaning that Avia means she's under the jurisdiction of her father, meaning first stage of marriage, Erisin. And Chameha, she's under the jurisdiction, or I guess more literally, within the house of her father-in-law, meaning she moved in with her husband, meaning second stage of marriage, Nisuin. So the Gemara says, so now, here's what the Brisa is saying, is that if she committed adultery while being a Arusa, she's going to be, meaning that, and that's what the Brisa means when it says the words, Es Avia. So she is going to be subject to Sreifa. So Erisin, a Bas Kohen, having an adulterous affair during Erisin is Sreifa. And then, if she had an adulterous affair of Nisuin, so that's going to be Skila. Okay. So the Gemara says, maybe that's what the Brisa means, but the Gemara says, but if that's what the Brisa means, we are going to get stuck. Because this conforms to whose opinion? Nobody. Come on. Ikar Abba Namri Nisui Yatsal Esreifa V'lo Arusa. So the Gemara says, the Chachamim say, that only the Bas Kohen Nisua is subject to Esreifa, and not the Arusa. The Arusa Bas Kohen is going to be subject to Skila. Because remember, according to the Chachamim, Skila is on the top of the list. And Iker Rebbe Shimon Amar Achas Arusa V'Achas Nesua B'Sreifa. And if we subscribe to the viewpoint of Rebbe Shimon, we know that according to Rebbe Shimon, both a bas kohen arus and a bas kohen nisu were subject to sreifa. And Iker Rabbi Yishmael. Now I know Rabbi Yishmael comes out of left field, but Rabbi Yishmael is the third opinion on this matter. And Iker Rabbi Yishmael hamar arus yatzal sreifa v'lo nisua. So Rabbi Yishmael says that the sreifa penalty for the bas kohen is exclusive only to erusin, not nisuin. And as chameh cheneku. And according to Rabbi Shmuel, once a bas kohen gets to the second stage of marriage of nisuin, so then she is quote unquote a regular married woman. Her committing adultery is subject to the chenek penalty. Okay, so we have now a brisa. It says her father-in-law. If it's talking about having an incestuous relationship, that's not a halacha limited to a bas kohen. That's universally true. If we're talking about jurisdiction, like we just suggested. Well, then we're stuck because the Braisa, as we're explaining it, doesn't conform to either the opinions of the Chachamim, nor Rabbi Shimon, nor Rabbi Yishmael. And so, therefore, we're stuck, and we're going to now try to offer a couple of explanations. Let's get through the first one this morning. There's going to be a total of three. Shalach Rav Mishmed Rav Yossi Rabbi Chenin Kachi Yatzal Shal Mishnah Olam Karabanan. The author of the Braisa, the author of this line of the Braisa is going like the Chachamim. Now I know, Hedy, the point you made earlier is now even better, meaning it's even more amplified, because now the Braisa is kind of like swinging between the opinion of Rabbi Shimon to the opinion of Rabbi Lazar, then to the opinion of the Chachamim. Like the Braisa is like all over the place in terms of whose position is it based on. Okay, and I admit that's obviously challenging, but the last line of this verse is going like the Chachamim. V'hachi kamar, koshu lemata mimisas avia. In other words, if you are, now remember, the Chachamim's pecking order of capital crimes, capital punishments is one skila, two strefa, three chenek, four herek. So, if we are below misas avia, umayni unesua bas Yisrael, the ilan nesua bas Yisrael bechenek, a married woman, is committing adultery. I'm sorry. If you're below having relations with your father, so having a woman having relations with her father is sreifa. So again, if your order is skila, sreifa, herik, skila, sreifa, skila, sreifa, herik and chenek. So if you're below sreifa, we're going like the Chachamim right now. Okay, it's fine. It's fair to be confused. Okay. Right. We're going like the Chachamim right now. Skila Sreifa Herik Vechenek. So, if you're below the threshold of incest with one's father, Sreifa. So, if you're below that, Shulamat mi misas avio, my nihu nesua bas Yisrael, deila nesua bas Yisrael Vechenek. Hacha b'misas avio, hacha b'misas avio b'sreifa. So here, you'll be receiving the punishment of one's misas avia, what one would have gotten with one's father, which would be sreifa. And then, kol shuhu lemala mi misas avia. Now, if you're above misas avia again is code for sreifa. Umay nihu, arusa bais Yisrael, deal arusas bais Yisrael, ba'am and beskila. Now, there's only one thing above sreifa, again, according to the Chachamim, and that's skila. So in other words, if you're above that, which is skila, which is in reference to an arus, an ara marasa, hacha b'misas chamia b'skila. So here, you're going to be subject to the skila penalty. In other words, it's just a fancy way of saying, and it's really fancy, but it's just a fancy way of saying that if you're a bas kohen, if you were an arusa, you're going to be subject to skila. And if you're an asua, you're going to be subject to sreifa. So the Gemara says that is a very fancy way to explain the brisa. And the Gemara says, but of course the problem is maskav la raviyomia mida lamala lamata katani. If you're understanding the brisa's code, meaning something above sreifa, something below sreifa, the brisa doesn't say any of that. I mean, you're reading a lot into the brisa. Elam Rav Yirmiyah. So the Gemara says, so we are now up to attempt number two. La Olam Karabi Shmal. The author of the Braisa is Rabbi Shmal Vahachi Kamar. Es Avia Bershus Avia, Bisreifa. So if you are under the jurisdiction of your father, So meaning that you are only underwent the first stage of marriage, erusin, so that's Sreifa. Veschameha, mechameha beskila. And eschameha means that you actually had an adulterous affair with your father-in-law, is that skila. Vechol adam bechenek, otherwise it would be chenek. So Amar Rava Maishna, o idiv idiv mamash, o idiv idiv rishus. So the Gemara says this pshat of Rabbi Yirmiyah is totally unacceptable because you have to be consistent. Either we're talking about you're having relations with that person, meaning either father or father-in-law, or under the jurisdiction of father-father-in-law. But what Rav Yirmiyah did is he picked and chose. He went with father under the jurisdiction and father-in-law actually having an ancestral relation. So the Gemara doesn't like Rav Yirmiyah's pshat because, quite frankly, it's inconsistent. So now Rav says, I'm going to now say another pshat in the Bryce, and that's like Rabbi Shimon, because Sava Rav loves an Nesua Karusa, and Rav loves is of the opinion that an Nesua is like an Arusa, Marusa, Chadarga Maskinala Miskila Lesrefa, Af Nesua, Chadarga Maskinala Mechenik Leskila, and basically what we're going to do is we're going to go up one rung on the ladder. Meaning, if you are normally skila, you go up to Sreifa, meaning we're going like Rabbi Shimon. And if you're normally chenek, you're going to go one up on the ladder, meaning you're going to go up to skila. So maskal Rabbi Chanina ha'idivida Rabbi Shimon b'Sreifa kamar. The Gemara says, yeah, but if you're saying that the author of the Brice is Rabbi Shimon, also remember, what does Rabbi Shimon say regarding the Bas Kohen? She always gets Sreifa. So you can't do that. You can't say that the author of the Brice is Rabbi Shimon and simply say, we're going to go up one rung, when we also know that, according to Rabbi Shimon, a Bas Kohen is also going to be always going to be receiving Sreifa. So, El Am Ravina Lolam Karabanan Ve'epoch. So the Gemara now gives four. Okay, we're now up to our fourth explanation of the Braisa. We're going to say that the author of the Braisa is a Chachamim, but what we're going to have to do is we're going to have to flip it around so that Avia is going to be the Avia is going to be Skila and Chameh is going to be Sreifa. Okay, so meaning we're going to have to edit the Braisa in order to arrive at some explanation of this Braisa. Okay, we'll pause over here. Tomorrow we'll pick it up. Quick recap. So what we did this morning is we went over the pecking order of the Dalmisus, both according to the Chachamim and according to Rabbi Shimon. Today we went over the entirety of Rabbi Shimon. We discussed the Nafkamina, what's the practical difference in terms of giving a pecking order. The Gemara says in terms of if a person did a crime that has a double capital punishment, he's going to be receiving the harsher of the two. So then it's important, of course, to know which one is the harsher of the two. We spent a lot of time this morning describing the Bas Kohen and what her penalty is for going to be committing adultery. We have learned at the end of today's daf that there are actually three opinions in terms of the Bas Kohen. When is she going to be subject to the Sreifa penalty? We all can agree that she's going to be subject to the Sreifa penalty as the Torah says so, but at what stage of life and at what stage of marriage? So there's actually three opinions on this matter. The Chachamim, Rabbi Shimon, and Rabbi Yishmael. The Gemara then quoted a Braisa where at the end, the Braisa spoke ambiguously regarding a Chameha, she's having an affair, Chameha, Avia, does that mean jurisdiction? Does that mean she's actually having incest with them? And who does this Braisa follow like? And that's what the Gemara spent a good part of today's daf trying to unravel.